You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Good morning. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You are walking with me today on Dr. Michelle Live. Beautiful, glorious, amazing day. So get your coffee and let's kind of think about some different things today. It's not too different because I mentioned it yesterday. Alex, my producer, brought up this concept of tattoos. And I know that in some circles, there's a controversy around tattoos and tattooing. Many of you have children who want a tattoo. Many of you are older and want tattoos, and yet you're worried or you fit into one area, the other area. You're not sure where to go, or you feel kind of, you know, some people shame older people who want tattoos. Many people have tattoos or trying to get rid of them. There's also, you can walk over to the other little side trail and go to the group that actually thinks that it's anti-Christian. So, because they have little Bible verses, and I'm not, you know, when I add that little thing like little Bible verses, as if I think that there's a problem with it, I understand it. I also think that we need to look at context very carefully and how culture defines context and how the history of the time and place when an opinion was formed or when a mandate came down is really important to take into consideration. So when we look at something like tattoos and we look at where they are throughout history, and we also look at biblical references. And I know there are a few. I really actually did not get them. Maybe Alex. He's going to come on the air sometime and talk about this. He promised me. So, but he's not quite ready yet. I think you're ready, Alex. But Alex, could you find, I think it's Leviticus, says something about tattoos and how tattoos are forbidden. My guess is that when you look at, let's say, I'm not sure if they were around at the same time, but there are many islanders, many of the Polynesian islanders, many tribal people who had as identification different tattoos. And they had different tattoos that meant different things. And the Native American, traditions, different tattoos symbolize where you're from. They symbolize whether you were a slave or not. There's that famous, I can't remember her name now, famous girl whose family was killed during the pioneer days. And she and her sister survived. Her sister at one point did die, but she survived. And she went from a rather brutal Native American family or experience or tribe where they took her as a slave, and she was either traded or somehow got with another tribe, and she was tattooed somewhere along the line around her mouth. She's in fact, there's a television series, Hell on Wheels, that has a character that has the exact same tattoo as this woman. And I'm going to have to look at that. Okay. So, and find out, because I just thought of it now. So that symbolized to her, either she was part of that tribe, or perhaps it could have been her symbol as a slave. Alex adds, Alex, you need to get on air. I'm telling you, I do not want to shame. Come on out, Alex. Come on out. He says, while many people choose religious tattoos as part of their faith, there are some religions that don't allow tattoos, such as Orthodox Judaism. However, today there are some religious designs that are more common than others, such as Islam, Christian, Buddhist, and Hindu. So there are a lot of Christian statements that are being made as a form of tattoo. In our own country, and we're not only going to talk about tattoos today. Usually my beginning is an intro. So let me tell you some other things we're going to talk about. I want to talk today about Our Lady of Guadalupe as well. And I also want to talk about letting go, hanging on, and receiving. This was something that was actually brought to me by someone else. And just in those three words or those three little phrases, and I really started thinking about it. And I thought, you know what, this is what so much of our cognitive behavioral therapy, so much of our psychoanalytic therapy, so much of all kinds of therapy, any kind, insight therapy, positive psychology, it does our contemplative prayer, psychology, prayer, anything I can think of is embodied in those things. Letting go, holding on, and receiving, being able to receive. Beautiful concept. And it was actually in response to a prayer that I was emailing about, and about an experience with Our Lady Guadalupe that I had. And this response came back, which I will share with you. But those just three little things just really opened up some doors again, put lots of things again into a context for me, where I realized that this is way bigger than just my little life or your little life. It's very important to fulfill your big life, to fulfill not just whether you're going to let go of that idea of getting that house on that block and you're going to hold on to for something better, or you're going to hold on for where you're supposed to be. And you also need to have the receptor tools sharpened and open and cleaned off and undusted so that you can receive the holiness and receive the grace. And that fits perfectly into Lent, because that is one of the reasons that we, not just to do our alignment of sacrifice, that's huge, but also so that we remove the things that dust up our life and dust up our intentions and dust up our vision and dust up our receptor tools, and we get rid of that clutter internally. And we are able to receive the depth of what we are honoring, acknowledging, celebrating, and aligning ourselves with during Lent. So when we do simplify what we eat, when we simplify what we do with our digital media, when we simplify not spending so much money, when we simplify paying it forward, so to speak, or fasting it forward, in that we fast from too much clutter and we go to the simple. We make a commitment to view God's beautiful nature. You might think it's counterintuitive to say, I will sacrifice by going to a botanical garden if you live in a snowy place, or out to the backyard if you live in a sunny place, or out to the ocean, or out to the desert, out to the mountains. And just enjoy as a thank you and a gratitude. Who of you ever gave a birthday party and didn't have at its core for your little child just for everyone to enjoy themselves? You really didn't do it so your child gets a gift. You did it to bring joy. You did it to bring fun. You did it to have an experience of everybody running, screaming, getting dirty, having a great time. That's why you did it. And delight. Well, that's why God made the earth for us to walk upon. We could have been anywhere. But we're fine-tuned to the thing from which we sprang so that we have the ability. Do you know There are people right now who live in houses because I toured a couple of them, and I didn't tour them as, oh, this is like, it should be in a museum. These were open houses, literal open houses, brand new, exciting homes in upscale planned communities to plan to get back to the roots of neighborhood and all that. There are homes that have bedrooms with no windows. Bedrooms with no windows. There are homes that are not sold with screens because nobody opens their windows anymore. I've been in them. I've asked many a time when I lived in a place for quite some time, I would ask, where are the screens in brand new homes? Well, nobody opens their windows. It's like, well, I open my window. I might only be able to open it 2 days a year, but I open my window. Leave that up to me. So what kind of world do we live in? Think about it for Lent. Sacrifice your point of view. Sacrifice your stulted perception. Sacrifice your narrowness and attempt to squeeze into a little tiny narrow path so that you expand on the other side to find a new something. We would think it wasn't new because there were a time where we came from a place where there were no windows, where people just had shutters or whatever. That was it, or not even that, caves. But what has happened? What has happened? God's thrown a party and nobody's coming. And it's populated with flowers and pine trees and snow and rain and dirt and birds. So it's time for you to sacrifice and enjoy that. How about that? All right, I am Dr. Michelle. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you are with me on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. You can email me on dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. No, you can't. Never mind. Let's try that again. Maybe that was right. I got sidetracked by opening up one of the tattoo articles I want to refer to. All right. So you can email me. I think I did say it right. dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. Yes, I did say it right. And you can also log on for archives at breadboxmedia.podbean.com. See what we were talking about yesterday. It's all really relevant stuff. We talk about everything that happens now. Every once in a while, there's a thing that goes, let's say we talked about Hello Barbie a long time ago. It's still a pertinent thing. It was all about the interactiveness of the Barbie that was just being launched a couple years ago. The interactiveness or interaction that your child would have were actually all of their conversations with their doll who talked back to them would be stored in the cloud. And the doll also had a GPS. So it would be able to say, you'd be able to say where you were. I'm in New York City. I just went to the park. And they would say Barbie would say back to the child, well, hey, by the way, maybe you like pizza, or do you like Mexican food, or do you like Italian food? And then they would give a store or a shop or a restaurant just right close by. Tell your mom. And then everything was recorded. Really spooky stuff. Well, that was just the beginning. And so we talk about all those things. So you're welcome to to really come up with anything, and I'll be glad to address it. You can be anonymous. And yesterday, when I was talking to Alex, we started talking about tattoos, because one of his friends is beginning a app where you can look at, or is developing an app where you can kind of try on the tattoos on your body yourself to see if you're going to like the way it's going to look, et cetera, et cetera. And it just kind of got into this big conversation because there is a controversy. I think it's getting less and less controversial, but there is a controversy. And there's a big Christian controversy, and probably other religions as well, but I don't know it as well as I do those who are Christian, because I hear the remarks that Christians will get, people who are tattooed. And I also see scripture, Our Lady Guadalupe, a cross with some other saying tattooed on various body parts, just walking around town. And it's a statement. So what do you think about it? 573-4-BREAD-4, you can text. You can also email dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. Is it disgusting? Is it cool? Is it a sin? Is it wonderful? Is it, why do you think it even happens? I'm going to give you my opinion, and all this whole program is my opinion, looking at all different sides. So a tattoo in our history, in this country, used to be about military, prisoners, motorcycle clubs, in our recent history. In the past, as I was telling you, in the Native American tribes, the different tribes, they had tattoos, were very common. Tattoos that symbolize many things. Again, sadly, slaves had tattoos to show you who your owner was. So there, again, culture. What are you trying to say? What is it you're trying to do? What is the intention behind your symbol? What is the intention behind your symbol? Do you remember Prince, when Prince stopped being Prince and he had this symbol and he was known as the symbol formerly known as Prince or something like that, the man formerly known as Prince. So, you know, we have all these concepts, and oftentimes we just happen to see somebody and go, oh, no, that's horrible. Oh, that's disfiguring. There was a period of time where psychiatry itself and psychology itself thought, as we were getting more into the social aspect of tattoos, we started looking at it instead of, oh, there, it's more likely that there's some kind of a, it was just kind of that observation. It was not a it is helpful. I mean, you look at everything. So it's not like you said, oh, they've got 35 tattoos, therefore I know that they've been in prison, that they do meth, that they do this, they do that. Chances are, though, way back then, that was a pretty good bet. It gave you a picture of the life that this family or this person would live, especially, remember going into a room with a child that was brought in the middle of the night in child psychiatry. And she was brought in by both of her parents. And her dad was just tatted up head to toe. And this was at a time where there really wasn't a social place for tattoos. There were no girls and women that had tattoos wandering around, not too many anyway. And it just wasn't a thing at that point. It just hadn't made it into the fashion world or into the statement world or into our world, our everyday world. And the mom was the mom, and they had a big drug history, and they were brought her in the middle of the night because she was incorrigible, basically, and because she was doing drugs. And so, you know, you look at the situation and part of what you will deal with, because it's a family system. It is a system of the family. You can't make those gentle. I'm not even going to say that I made the assumptions. They could have been anyone. But chances are you get a snapshot picture. You want to call that profiling? Well, you got to profile something. If you come to me and you are, let's say, African American and you're obese and you are under high stress, I'm going to be more cautious about your blood pressure because in the African American community, blood pressure is it's one of the Achilles heels there. There's more high blood pressure in the African American community, at least when I was in general practice there was, than there is in the non-African American community for whatever reason. That's just it. You have to keep that in mind, that you got to pay special attention to certain things. If you had someone of, say, Japanese descent, and they were having all kinds of stomach problems, you had to look at their culture and their heritage as well, because it in that particular population, it was more common not to be born with the enzyme that digests milk. So if they were drinking milk or eating foods with milk products in it or cheese or a typical American type diet, then perhaps it was the milk that was causing the lactose intolerance that was causing problems. So you have to look at, you do have to look at the general snapshot. You look at someone in a white coat, you're going to assume pretty much that they're in the healthcare profession. So when we looked at tattoos at a certain time in our history, they gave a certain picture. That had to and needed to and does need to change. And over 20, 30 years, it has completely changed from something that has been out of the ordinary to or sequestered in certain groups. Again, the military, prisoners, gang members, in our more recent history anyway. So now it's become art and social statement. There was a time when the next step in psychology or psychiatry, where we would see it, is in people, especially women, who had borderline personality disorder, and oftentimes in people who had concomitant eating disorder, it would be almost, and the psychiatry and psychology wondered, could that be even self-mutilation? Well, I don't think so, but that was a question that was asked. Because why were we seeing tattoos more in this population all of a sudden? My personal thought was that in those particular there's usually a trauma under base, not always. And so chances are it was a way to express, to say, I am here and I will say what I'm not allowed to say. I will say myself, I will tell myself on my skin rather than hurt myself. I will say who I am because I'm not allowed to be who I am because I've been harmed. So you see how there's so much more to any picture than what we often see from the outside. When we come back from the other side of the break, we're going to just look at its superficial base, though. We're going to look at things like, because if your child has tattoos or is contemplating tattoos or you have tattoos, I want you to look at some statistics about tattoos in the workplace. What percentage of professions have tattoos? What professions are more against tattoos? Areas of the country that are more against tattoos? There's a whole interesting world out there that that we need to kind of get up to speed with. All right, I am your host, Dr. Michelle. We will see you on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Well, welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. And we are talking today. In fact, I'm weighing, all in good fun. Alex brought up the concept of tattooing, or I did off the cuff. I said, Alex, what am I going to talk? This was yesterday. What am I going to talk about today? Should I talk about love? Should I talk about relationships, tattoos, Lent, fasting, sacrifice? He goes, well, tattoos. He thought about a friend of his who was going to develop an app to looking at tattoos and a tattoo app. And so that brought it all up. And I wanted Alex, who was all gung-ho, and I know he's listening, to get on the air yesterday and talk about it, but we didn't make it. Now he thought better of it today. So I'm going to get you on the air, Alex, because you have all these great ideas, and he has given me a lot of great resources. So we could do an entire program on the secular aspect, as far as like getting a job and this and that in the world we live in, if you have a tattoo. And also tattoos in general, and what the church says, what the Catholic Church says about it. And just as I was saying in the beginning of the program, we have a lot of it is context. And I'm finding that even in the church, there are widely varying views from very reputable sources, from Catholic answers to priests, very wildly different views. And in just a short period of time, 6-7 years, the switch, the way that it's viewed is very, very different. So I hope I have time to go into that. So let's go to and I really wanted to go to that prayer as well. Just if I don't get to it today, because today is Friday, for this Lenten weekend, I want you to think about and pray about letting go, hanging on, and receiving. Letting go. Jesus telling the guy, sell everything. Okay, you've done everything I've asked you. You've done all the letter stuff, but is there anything else? Yes. Yes. Sell everything. Get rid of it. Sell everything and follow me. So letting go of those disappointments, letting go of the house, letting go of the job, letting go of, I'm not telling you to quit anything. I'm just saying if things didn't turn out the way you wanted, let go of the idea, the fantasy, let go of the fact that you made the mistakes that you made, let go of the fact you had the abortion. It is really easy to say, and it's a lifelong process, because those pains run deep, those scars run deep. How can you let go of a loved one? How can you let go of not even a loved one that hurt you, but how can you let go of a loved one, your attachment? Maybe you're over-attached to your child for some reason. Maybe your child is fulfilling you rather than growing up as the lily I'm looking at right now to be what God intended it. I'm looking right now at a huge stalk of lilies, maybe 6 or 7 lilies, and it's coming up out of a ground that has lots of weeds that have no flowers and lots of flowers around it that are only on the ground. They're only just a few inches above the ground, purple and white and pink and lavender. And each one of those, and there's a little dandelion with a little yellow flower, and it's underneath an apple tree that has apple blossoms on it. So are those like, is the apple blossom say, I'm going to make you, Lily, more like me, so that you can be me, I can live through you. The apple tree is the apple tree with all its beauty. And the lily doesn't say, oh, well, look at you. You've got a big trunk and you've got these amazing arms and I'm just the stalk. The lily is the lily and it's beautiful and birds love it and birds and bees love and all kinds of bugs, spiders, they go inside and black widows, things you wouldn't want to run into. They love these things. They love all of it. They all have a place. And little daisies on the ground aren't saying, I'm going to live through you, Lily, because they're surrounding the lily. So are they really looking at the lily going, oh, well, I really always wanted to be a lily, so I'm going to sacrifice myself and I'm going to wither and die so that I can live through you, lily, because I'm not a day, because I'm just a little daisy. Or the dandelion, like, hey, well, look at me. Everyone just pulls me out and throws me away. Nobody does that. They just are. And if you open your eyes, they're beautiful. All of them. You don't want anything. You don't want to say, oh, I just only need, I don't know, whatever it could be, ivy. That's it. Some people do. But, you know, here we are. So this is really important stuff. So that little prayer, letting go, then holding on. There are things you need to let go of, not just the hurts or the things you've done wrong in life. The beliefs, the desires that you're putting as a God. And that was one of the concepts we'll come to in this tattoo concept, is that what is your intention? Is it becoming a cult of its own? Are you slipping over from getting a tattoo with a meaning and then wanting another and another and another? As I said, some people do, because they do it with plastic surgery. They do it with dentistry. Something flips on the brain and they just can't get enough. So you have to really watch. Then the other part is holding on of that prayer, letting go, holding on, hold on for your life, hold on to your roller coaster seat, hold on to the swing, hold on for what God has in your path, what God has in store for you. If you're constantly letting go, I mean, if you're constantly hanging on to the past, which is the act of not letting go, you can't possibly hold on for the future, because you're tenaciously, your hands are busy grabbing the past or grabbing that idea. Doesn't mean don't be tenacious. It doesn't mean don't be driven. It doesn't mean don't keep working. Doesn't mean that you have to not like things and just sit there and meditate. Not everyone is called to be contemplative. So I want you to keep that in mind. So it's letting go, holding on, and receive. Give me the openness to receive what it is you want from me. All right. So now, back to tattoos. This is like back and forth. We're in like a little verbal tennis game today. All right. Here's some interesting statistics about tattoos and work written. Frog. Statistics about tattoos. Place. The deal. Let's see how much. Okay, we have a little bit of time. So the article starts out, do you have any tattoos? Whether you have a tattoo on your ankle, upper arm, lower back, many employers see tattoos as taboo in the workplace. What do you think? There's a certain stigma against a visible workplace. Supposedly, they negatively impact your credibility. Find them inappropriate at work, and they apply a kill of the negative stigma again is slowly dissolving. Fact that accepted in today for interpreting is becoming more common, but it doesn't mean you won't still be discriminated against for having a tattoo in the hiring place. And then here are the statistics. Job Monkey says, we ran across a very cool infographic titled Tattoos in the Workplace from skinfo.com that reveals all sorts of interesting statistics about tattoos in the workplace. So in our last little part of this segment, I'm going to give you some statistics. This is for you whose children have tattoos, and for you who are either have them yourself or are thinking of them. It says 37% of HR managers. Now, this was, again, remember the date. It was 2016, so it was just about a year ago. 37, because it was in March, 37% of HR managers cite tattoos as the third most likely physical attribute that limits career potential. 42% of people of all ages feel that visible tattoos are inappropriate at work. 45 million people in the U.S. have at least one tattoo. Zero states have laws protecting people with tattoos from discrimination and company hiring practices. Neck, head, and face tattoos continue to carry the most considerable stigma. 96,000 tattoos removals were performed in 2014. $588 is the U.S. national average in 2013 for tattoo removal procedures. 14% of people with tattoos regret their decision to get a tattoo. That's a pretty high percentage. If I had 14% chance of winning the lottery, I may go get a couple of lottery tickets. So that's something to think about. 14% of the people regret their tattoo. Percent of people with tattoos in different careers. I'm going to try to get through this really quickly before our last segment. We've only got a couple, less than a minute. The military, 36% of military, percent of people with tattoos in different careers. Military, 36%. Listen to this. Agriculture and ranching, 22%. Never would have thought it. Hospitality, tourism, and recreation, 20%. Arts, media, and entertainment, 16%. Retail, 14%. Finance and banking, 13%. Healthcare, 13%. Professional services, 13%. Education, child development, and family services, 12%. We will finish that part on the other side of the break. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. See you on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Well, welcome back. I'm your host, Dr. Michelle, and you are with me on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. We're going on our little tennis game of mental topics here, from tattoos to Our Lady of Guadalupe to prayers. And Our Lady of Guadalupe was wrapped up in that little prayer, that tiny little prayer, because I was talking about my experience at the Ash Wednesday Mass, which was insane because I rushed there with my dog in tow, thinking I could get a parking place. It was not. I was there in plenty of time. It was packed. And I was in a sea of people. And it was somehow, I was in the very, very back. And all I could see were these silhouettes of heads in front of me. And it was just beautiful. And, I was really just there in such, receptivity somehow. And I just began this beautiful way of praying. To me, it was beautiful. It wasn't beautiful at the time. And I cried. It was something different. And I found myself immersed in this particular kind of prayer. Let me put it that way. And it was something different than I'd experienced before. And it was rather profound. In its simplicity and in its beauty and in its openness. I can't describe it, and I want to get back to tattoos. I was describing it a little bit to my friend, and they wrote back about other things I was talking about and said, you know, a good prayer, because Our Lady of Guadalupe is always coming up to me, with me and for me and in front of me. And right before that Mass, there was someone a stranger was talking about the weather, basically, and they had this medallion, and I was actually compelled, this sounds so weird, to pick it up, to hold it. And so I looked at it, was Sacred Heart of Jesus on one side, and I was bold enough and I flipped it over, and it was Our Lady of Guadalupe on the other side. And the man was very amenable to that. And I said, oh, you got two of my favorites. And he goes, yeah, those are my favorites too. But it was like a little nod from her. So you get a little working in the way I look at things here. So that was where that prayer came up about praying to Our Lady Guadalupe to help you let go, to help you hold on for the future, and to help you receive all the messages that the angels and the and God is putting in front of you. And I just thought that was so simple, but yet so beautiful. I so wanted to share that with you. So, and I also want to talk about tattoos. So we've got, I was reading to you for your information. And also we're not talking about the medical aspect too. Maybe we'll take this up next week because, you know, there are risks of infections and things like that. So we're looking at the percentage of people with tattoos in different careers. So I went through the military, 36%, agriculture and ranching, 22%. I mean, I just wouldn't have thought of these things. Hospitality, tourism and recreation, 20%. Arts, media, entertainment, 16%. Retail, 14%. Finance, 13%. Healthcare, 13%. Professional services, 13%. Child development, education and family services, 12%. Manufacturing, 9%. Engineer design and construction, 9%. Information technology, 9%. Government, 9%. Now, the 15 most tattoo-friendly cities, search jobs by location. This is where you can click on if you say, oh, I'm all tatted up, I want to get a job, I think I'll go do someplace else. Well, the first one I'm certainly not surprised at. San Francisco, California. Number two, Austin, Texas. Number three, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Number four, Philadelphia. Number five, Detroit, Michigan. Number six, Chicago. Number seven, these are the 15 most tattoo-friendly cities. Number seven, Miami. Number eight, Portland, Oregon. I would have thought that would have been way up there. Number nine, Atlanta, Georgia. Number 10, Los Angeles, California. Number 11, Denver, Colorado. Number 12, Phoenix, Arizona. Number 13, San Diego, California. Number 14, Las Vegas, Nevada. Number 15, New York, New York. The 36 most friendly U.S. companies, tattoo-friendly U.S. companies. Whole Foods, number two, Sadie's. Look, this is a trip. You know, I just don't think of these things. Number one, Whole Foods. Number two, Sally's Beauty Supply. Number three, Hot Topic. Number four, Trader Joe's. Number five, Borders Books. Number six, Target. Number seven, Claire's Boutique. Number five, Piercing Pagoda. That doesn't surprise me. Number nine, Burlington Coat Factory. Number 10, Albertsons. Number 11, Big Lots. Number 12, Barnes & Noble. Then comes IKEA. Then 14, Forever 21, 15, Journeys, 16, Spencer Gifts, 17, Staples, 18, Ticketmaster, 19, Hard Rock Cafe, 20, Best Buy, 21, Kohl's, 22, Anthropologie, 23, Home Depot, 24, Lowe's, 25, Petco, 26, Google, which that surprises me, 27, FedEx, 28, UPS, 29, MAC Cosmetics, 30, Lush Cosmetics, 31, Tokyo Joe's, 32, Dunkin' Donuts, 33, Half Price Books, 34, Applebee's, 35, Amazon. You would have thought no. And 36, Zappos. So these are, and this is, remember, this is on JobMonkey. These are people who are actively looking for job. And Alex says, I'm surprised that Los Angeles is not in the top three. I know, me too. And that Philadelphia outweighs Los Angeles. Interesting, especially when you have such a high percentage of military and ranchers sporting tattoos, you know? So you'd think, well, Los Angeles, you're going to have, you know, the people from Pendleton, you're going to have people from, you know, in all the arts media, you're going to have, you know, it's the Wild West, but no, that's not the way it goes. All right, so that gives you that. Now let's look, if I can, Alex, how much time do I have? Let's look at the Catholic point of view, make sure I get this in before the, because I'm sure many of you are really looking at that. Like, what about the Catholics? So is there something? Oh, we have 5 minutes. So before that, then I'm going to go to an actual website that says support tattoos and piercings at work. My body is not my resume. So this is a big, it's a cause. So these are the stats according to the support tattoos and piercings at the workplace. In America, 42% of adults have tattoos. People with tattoos in Canada, 38%. In Ireland, 36%. In UK, 29%. Number of tattoo parlors in the U.S., 21,000 tattoo parlors. Average cost of a small tattoo, $45. Average cost of tattooing, $100 per hour. Percentage of tattooed people who feel the tattoo meaning is the most important factor, 43%. Percentage of people who cover up their tattoos, 5%. So, let's see. I'm sorry, percentage of people with cover-up tattoos is 5%. Legality. So in some places, countries, you can be arrested or fined for tattoos. In America, it's okay. Now, this is just about getting it. Okay, tattoo stacks. I don't want to get too much into it. I've only got a few minutes. In fact, I'm going to forget that. I'm going to go, because we're running out of time, to the Catholic. All right, so back in 2006 on Ask a Priest, Ask a Priest is getting a tattoo against the teachings of the Catholic Church. And the answer, now this was edited in 2013, but the blog was 2006, I think. No, I'm sorry. No, this is a 2006 from a priest, okay? June 28th, 2006. And the question was, are they sinful? Is it suitable? And so here the priest responds, Dear L.S., he asked the question. He goes on to say, I'm not going to read the whole thing. It came to mind there is a certain similarity between the effect of tattoos on the body and the effects of the sacraments on the soul of the Catholic. I'm going to get down to what he says here. From ancient times, pagan people would brush the body mourning a deceased person or honoring a pagan god. But there are places where in Kings it says cutting themselves after their manner with knives, and that it's not something that you're supposed to do, that Moses said you shall not make any cuttings on your flesh for the dead, neither shall you make on yourselves any figures or marks, I am Lord. Talks about Pope Pius in 1945 to sporting enthusiasts and athletes taking care of their bodies, saying it's great as long as it's not cultish. So he says further, Pope Pius said that the highest... the Catholic sees the human body is created by God, and the last and highest of all the things is God's peace. In the image and likeness of God, should not be disfigured. And then they talk about the Jews saying that they are commanded to only make one mark, and that is circumcision. Then he concludes, the mark of tattooing lawful for Catholics, not wishing to exaggerate what might be a small matter, I judge that I with the mind of the church when I say tattooing is at least unseemly for a Catholic. It surely would weaken faith in Christ for one to place a non-Christ permanent mark on the body. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, says Paul. Let the temple be preserved and for free of unworthy marks. Okay, but only two more minutes. This is from 2013, Catholic Answers. So I'm going to go down to the conclusion right now. You can all have this Catholic Answers 2003. I've only got a minute. It says, if you decide to get a tattoo, consider the following, because here's what the conclusion was. So prohibition against tattoos in Leviticus is part of moral law. I said, Jimmy Aiken says, there's no reason why one cannot color one's skin. All right? It's what you're going to say about it. So if you decide to get a tattoo, they suggest, number one, the images should not be immoral, they should not be sexually explicit, satanic, or in any way opposed to the teaching of Christianity. Be prudent. Well, mom is probably safe, that tattoo in your girl's name probably isn't. Number three, consider the arguments in tattooing, and then four, advice is, if you still feel strongly about it, give the message, wait a little while, and then perhaps go on with it. Sound advice. We'll see you on Monday. Have a wonderful, contemplative, beautiful weekend. This is Dr. Michelle.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.